Let me ask you a question. What do the following have in common? You can look at the screen and see if you figured out anything at all. What do the following have in common? Tomuka and Nana. Suppose I add to that a couple of other names. Joy and Robert. Tomuka, Nana, Joy, Robert. Suppose I add three other names. Chris and Troy and Josh. I hope that every member of this congregation knows the answer to that by now. Because these are the names of those individuals who are our missionaries. Tomuka and Nana Afogi over in Africa. Joy and Robert out in the South Pacific. And Chris and Troy and Josh, who are and who will even to a greater extent be part of the work in Paraguay. Let me ask you another question. What do the following have in common? Peru, Fort Walton Beach, and El Salvador. That ought to be a little bit easier now that we've talked about that first question. But are you aware that right now members of this congregation have been laboring down in Peru, and especially for the last several years, Phil Porter and Valerie and others, just every year, go down to Peru and spend this time down there. And then the matter of Fort Walton Beach, I hope you got that one, because that's where our young people will be going. This matter of El Salvador, I've been amazed at how much has been given already in those containers that are there in the foyer. You know, it just seems like every week there's just more and more that's given, and a lot of it has been taken and packaged, ready to go. But I'd encourage every one of you to this week especially to recognize the need that's there. Steve Bielich said to me, we probably have, well, didn't say we have enough toothpaste and toothbrushes, but said we could certainly use a whole lot more children's socks and underwear to be able to take down and to touch the lives of those individuals that are there. What do these things have in common? Well, here is what they have in common, and it's found in the third part of this slide that's on the screen. And that is, fill in the blanks. Now, I don't know if you were listening. As the scriptures were read to us this morning from Romans chapter 10, can you fill in the blank? Here is a list of things that starts with a blank, and then it says calling, believing, hearing, and preaching. What's missing out of that? Where does this in Romans chapter 10. What does it start with? If I quote verse 13 and I start quoting it and stop before we get to the blank, will you be able to fill in the blank? Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be... You've got it. What the Tomuka and Nana and Joy and Robert and Chris and Troy and Josh and Peru and Fort Walton Beach and El Salvador have to do with anything? They have to do with the salvation of a lost world. That's exactly what it has to do. Sometimes we think about, well, the young people are going to have a glorious trip. Well, they'll have a lot of fun, hopefully, while they're traveling and have some great and enjoyable times that are there. But the end result of that is not some vacation while we go down to El Salvador or go to Peru or see what's happened there. That's not what it's all about. The reason there are those individuals who eat food they would not normally eat, and who live in situations in foreign countries in which they would not normally live, has to do with that blank that is there, and that is the salvation of the lost world. Folks, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe He's the way, the truth, and the life? If you believe that, then that blank is the most important thing there is on this earth. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost, and you and I need to understand that that's why the church exists. The Lord never established the church to have a worshiping society. And if your view of involvement in Christianity, and especially your involvement in the church, has to do primarily with coming to a building to sing praises to God and to drink a little juice and eat some bread and throw in a few dollars, if that is your view of what Christianity is about, you need to pick up your Bibles and start reading again and come to a realization of the fact that here's what it's all about, and that is the world is lost without a knowledge of Jesus Christ. But there's another blank that needs to be put here. It's not just fill in the blank singular, it's fill in the blanks plural. What goes in this last blank that's found in this passage? Whoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in Him in whom they have not believed? You see, that in and of itself, by the way, shows that believing in Jesus is different from calling on the Lord. So here are those individuals who want to be saved. There is a calling on the Lord that is involved in that, but before there can be a calling on the name of the Lord, there's got to be believing. But before there can be believing, there's got to be hearing. Before there can be hearing, there's got to be preaching. What's missing from that blank? How shall they call in Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? See, the reality is that here is God's plan in relationship to this matter of reaching out and touching a lost world. And that is, there is that plan that involves individuals who are out there preaching. There are individuals that are involved in teaching kinds of situation that brings about a calling on the name of the Lord, that brings about a salvation of the world. But beginning place of that is before there ever is any preaching. You see, you and I need to understand that there are those who go and those who send. How shall they preach except they be sent? So let's talk about this matter of goers and senders. I suppose both of these are words, but as we use them this morning, understand that they're being used specifically in the context of Romans chapter 10, verse 13 through 17. Here are these individuals that are going, but behind those who are going are those who are sending. Now let me see if I can illustrate this. Think about Paul and Barnabas as goers, and the church at Antioch as senders. In Acts chapter 13, the Bible describes of the time early in the life of Paul after he'd become a Christian. He's been a Christian probably about 3 years at this time. And he's over there at Antioch. He's there because Barnabas has gone and brought him over to Antioch from his hometown of Tarsus. And Barnabas has encouraged the brethren there to receive him. And so Acts chapter 13, verse 1 says, in the church that was Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Some of the names we will recognize, others we will not. Barnabas, obviously. Simeon, who's called Niger. Lucius of Cyrene, down in Africa. Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. And Saul. That's Paul, as we know him by the later name. Now, as these prophets and teachers are there serving the church and ministering to the Lord, and as these individuals are fasting, God's Holy Spirit says, separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. In this specific incident, these individuals were being sent because the Holy Spirit of God spake, likely through one of the prophets who were there, spake and said, separate these two men because I have a work that I want them to do. And so the Bible says that having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. You may or may not be aware of the fact that the book of Acts has three missionary journeys of Paul in it. Here's the beginning of that first missionary journey. He's there in Antioch, the Holy Spirit speaks, and now Barnabas and Paul head out on that first missionary journey. They go out to do the very thing that Romans chapter 10 has talked about, that people might be saved, people who've called on the name of the Lord, people who have believed, people who have heard, people to whom preaching has been given. And here these individuals are as teachers and preachers out there trying to tell others about Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit specifically called them by name and said, this is the work that I want you to do. Brother and sister in Christ, let me ask you something. If the Lord had called you by name and had said, now this is the work that I want you to be doing, I wonder what kind of burden you would have felt. But the reality is, whether He has called us by name, He has called us for a specific work. So Paul and Barnabas go out. They go first to the island of Cyprus and preach in two larger places there on either end of that island. Then they go up to Asia Minor, to Perga, to Antioch up in Pisidia, and Iconium, and Lystra, and Derbe, and they're there preaching. And then they turn around and they come back from Derbe back to Lystra, to Iconium, to Antioch. They come down to Perga. There's a little seaport there called Attalia, and from there they go back to Antioch. And so months and months later, they come back to where that church was. And they gather together, Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the church, and report all that God had done with him and how he'd opened the doors of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there for a long time with their disciples. Brethren, I want you to understand, those individuals who went, those goers, and those who were sent. If you want to understand the word fellowship, there it is. There is a commonness that is involved in that situation. There's a work that is to be done, and there are those who go, and there are those who send. You've got the same thing when you think about Paul and those others who are associated with him. Paul and his company, we call them Silas and Timothy, and other times there's Luke, and on this second journey there are other individuals that are there. And a relationship that they have with the church at Philippi. Paul, you see, on that second missionary journey is in Troas, and a man from Macedonia in a vision comes to Paul and says, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul goes over to Philippi, and there in Philippi, there are two households that are converted that we know of. There's Lydia and her household, and there's the jailer and his household. And then, because of the persecution that is there, Paul leaves Philippi and goes from there down into Achaia. Now you listen to how Paul talks about that Philippian church. Recognize how small that church was. As far as we know, two households. There may have been others, and as the church reached out and touched others, no doubt there were. But Paul says, you Philippians know, in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, that's the geographical area where Philippi is. You take Greece, there's the northern area called Macedonia, the southern area called Achaia, where Corinth and those and Athens were, and other cities down in that southern part of Greece. And Paul says that whenever we left Macedonia, no church shared with us, with me, concerning giving and receiving except you. You see, there's Paul and his company. They are the goers. But back behind them stands the church at Philippi. Paul says, when we got over to Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessity, indicating evidently in the Greek, you did it twice. Not that I seek a gift, but I seek the fruit that it may abound to your account, because now Epaphroditus. And so again, Epaphroditus has brought some things to Paul into another city where Paul writes this letter. And the things sent from you, it's a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want you to look at the words in this. And I want you to see the emphasis that is in this passage, not on what great things Paul did down in Corinth, not what great things were accomplished in Thessalonica by the hands of Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and the others that were there. Paul looks and writes back to the church at Philippi, and he says, we shared in this because you assisted me. And the fruit that was born there was fruit that was born not added, as it were, to my account. It is an accounting legal term, an accounting term that is used here. But it was the fruit that was abounded to your account, because that which you sent was like a beautiful perfume, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 to 17 talks about the fact that when we share with others, it is a sacrifice to God, and it is an aroma that goes up into the very nostrils of God, into heaven itself. And the point that we're trying to make is that those funds that you supplied during Mission Sunday, that will be used for this very purpose. And the funds and sacrifices that you've made so other individuals can go on mission trips. And the contributions that are made so that Tamuka and Nana and Robert and Joy and Chris and Troy and Josh will be able to do the Lord's work, ascend up into heaven as the perfume. Think of that perfume that arose from the body of Jesus. Whenever that woman came and anointed the body of Jesus with an alabaster box that was filled with the wages for an entire year, and how the perfume filled the house. Hear me, child of God. Those who sinned filled the chambers of heaven with an aroma of a sweet-smelling sacrifice given to God. And it is aroma that comes not just from those who are going, but it is an aroma that is filled from those who are sent. Not, he says, that I'm asking for gifts. Gifts are not what it's all about. What it's all about is fruit that is born to your account. And then you look at the last part of this verse, God shall supply all of my need, all of your needs. You stop and think about how God has promised to bless us when we do His work, because He will supply the needs that we're able to do. Think about the importance of those who go. Those who go are important because Romans chapter 13 talks about the salvation that they bring. People are saved because they are those who are willing to go. There is that great importance. Romans chapter 10 verse 13, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's the process described in verse 14. Here are these individuals that are ready to go, and they go and they're ready to preach and they teach while they're there. There'd be no calling on the name of the Lord if there were not those who were willing to go. And think not just about our young people who will be going, but those individuals who right this very minute are praising God in various places. You stop and think about what's happening and understand about the time frame around the world. It's already been Sunday out there where Scott Shanahan is, and we've helped support Scott in some works also. Scott Shanahan sends an email this morning that talks about people being baptized on Sunday out there in the South Pacific. Baptism after baptism. Why does that happen? It happens because there are those who are willing to go, and the importance that they manifest in the sight of God. But you and I need also to understand that it's not just the importance of the goers, it's the importance of those who sinned. Look again. Romans chapter 14 verse 15 talks about how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except there are those willing to sin? There can be no goers unless there are those who are willing to sin. And you need to understand that the works that you've done this last week and this last month and these last several months of your life has enabled there to be heaven filled with the aroma of a sacrifice to God. And how that different that makes that workplace look. When our young people this week touch the lives of those children that are there. Young people, you may this week touch the lives of some gospel preacher who will change the world. And they'll sit in that Bible class. And you may touch the lives of some great elder in the church who'll have a profound impact on the church. Or touch the lives of some preacher's wife or elder's wife or deacon's wife. Those individuals who in the future will be great servants in the kingdom of God. That's the importance of what you're doing. But what you and I need to understand is that that aroma that is there in heaven is not for their benefit. The aroma that is there in heaven is because of the hours that you spent in a thankless job where you hate to go to work. And it enables heaven's chambers to be filled with a sweet-smelling savor. And so tomorrow in the workplace, when things are not going good, when you're being criticized for whatever you're doing, whatever you're trying to do, understand that because you put up with that kind of mess in the workplace, heaven's chambers will be filled with a sweet-smelling aroma. Think of the glory of those who go. If I talk about Michael and Gabriel, think of the glory and honor given to these angels to whom God sent on special missions. Imagine the honor of being able to announce to Mary that Jesus has been born. Think of the glory that belonged to that angel. Because you see, they were simply tools in the hand of God. But there's no difference in the glory that was for that messenger from heaven that announced His birth and those messengers whom we support that announce His death to a lost world. Tools in the hand of God. And I charge you young people especially, and those who someday will be going on mission trips. Recognize and be worthy of the trust that God places in you. That God places in you. He has committed unto us the word that reconciles a lost world to Jesus. May you be worthy of that trust. But think of the glory that belongs to those who sinned. The exact same kind of glory, because there is fellowship. There's the glory that Michael and Gabriel, and that the fact that they were tools in the hands of God and that God trusted them. God trusts us who sinned. And the glory that is theirs is ours, to ultimately bring glory to the God of heaven. And think of the reward of those who sin, those who go. And the point we're trying to make is there's no difference in the reward of those who go and the reward of those who sinned. We are fellows. You think of the work in the South Pacific. Ever met anybody from the South Pacific? Ever met anybody from Paraguay? You ever met anybody from Nigeria? Ever met anybody from Zimbabwe? Ever met anybody from Peru? El Salvador? On that day, because of you, because of my brothers and sisters at Palm Beach Lakes, in accents that are foreign to us, maybe even languages that we'd not be able to understand, there will be hosts of individuals who will say, "Thank you, Palm Beach Lakes, because I couldn't go to heaven if you hadn't sent the gospel to me." And imagine being around that great white throne of God Almighty, embracing brothers and sisters in Christ who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, because there were those who were willing to go and there are those who are willing to send. Our missionaries in Palm Beach Lakes, may we ever understand that we have been sent by God as a part of His eternal purpose. It's not just His purpose that there are those who go. It's His purpose for those who sinned. And I love the expression of beautiful feet. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, or chapter 10, verse 15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings. So I want you to think about our young people's feet. I want you to think about Tamuka's feet, Nana's feet, and Joy, and Roberts, and Chris, and Troy, and Josh. How can they have beautiful feet? Let me illustrate. There was a blind man who had been praying for 3 days. The Lord had appeared to him, Acts chapter 9, on the road to Damascus, and he was said, told, "Go into the city, and there it will be told you what you must do." He's led by the hand inside that city. As a blind man, he's praying. And for 3 days, he has no clue what is about to happen in his life. In your imagination, darkness all around you, hear the footsteps of Ananias as he comes. That's the beauty of the feet of those who preach the gospel. There may have been many people that walked by up and down that street, but the only beautiful feet there were that day were the feet of Ananias, who brought the gospel to them. We need to keep in mind that fruit abounds to our account. Look again at Philippians 4, verse 17, I seek not the gift, but I'm seeking fruit that it may abound to your account. And then finally, God will provide. I marvel at the generosity of this church in reaching out to touch the lives of the lost. I want to ask you something. Name me one challenge that this eldership has put before this church that has not become a reality. And that has nothing to do with elders, except for the leadership they provide. It has everything to do with Philippians 4:19 that says, and my God shall supply all of your needs because He has the riches. May we rejoice together at being a part of the very body of Jesus. Missionaries have a message to be delivered to the lost world. It's the message of salvation. It's the message that says that if you're going to go to heaven, you must have faith. John 3:16. It's the message that says you must repent. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Jesus said, except you repent, you'll perish. It's the message that allows individuals with their mouth to confess Jesus as the Son of God. If thou shalt confess with thy lips the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. It's the message that leads people to be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 22 verse 16, listen to this. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Have you called on the name of the Lord in the biblical way? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's the biblical way of calling. Then He adds you to His kingdom, to His family, to the church, to the body of Jesus. And He says, now you just be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. And I'll give you the crown of life. What's your need? Will you not be resolved today to follow Him all the way to heaven? We can help you in any way. Won't you let it be known by coming to the front? As together we stand and sing, will you come?